Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, commencing at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Just going to take us on a bit of a journey this morning. I'm going to start at a messy place to start with and hopefully get to a place that makes sense. I'm going to start first off and foremost in our world. How many of you would agree it's a messy place? Yeah, we're in trouble. And I'm not just talking about Kawana, Queensland, Australia. We go further afield, it gets messier and messier and messier. We're going to look at a couple of stats, and there's so many stats that just get overwhelming, don't they? When you have a look at the world and you talk about what poverty is. Remember 2 weeks ago we looked at what poverty was from a Western culture? You know, no money, no house, no car, no second pair of shoes. And then we looked at from third world countries and they talked about isolation. They talked about broken relationships. So the understanding of poverty was so different from where they come from. And I think the more of those of you who have traveled the world, you'll see that again and again, won't you? When you see different places throughout the world, you'll see there's different emphases going on and around. And you come back to Australia and you see how well we really do have it here. And I'm going to give you some stats today to show you how well we really do have it here. It's an amazing place that we live. And it is quite incredible. And yet with that incredible comes a fair bit of responsibility that I'm not sure whether we know how much of a responsibility actually weighs upon our shoulders to take our faith in Christ further than we probably do. There's plenty of opportunity for us as followers of Jesus. The world is crazy. We look at the world today, there is things that once upon a time were white that is being called black, and now things that were once upon a time black now called white, things that were once wrong now called right, and once things that were right are now called wrong. And it's just unfolding all over the place. And then in amongst all that is all the technology. I was sharing with a lady last night and she didn't realize that I wasn't born a pastor. And that I actually had a career in telecom before I was a pastor. And she went, "Oh, wow, how far back was that?" And I went, "Well, in one of the places I did some work, we had some wiring that was cotton wound." And she went, "Oh." And I said, we used valves and then transistors and then ICs. And when we did soldering, we had to connect ourselves through a little chain so that we didn't use static electricity to blow up those really expensive ICs. And our computers were the size of this room, massive. And I said, you know, and at that time, I'm watching on TV this guy called Dick Tracy who would grab his watch and go, "Call Cynthia." No, don't call Cynthia. No. You know, and today we're living it. And we live in a technology that is so far advanced to what we've been through. And there's some of you that are way older than me, no offense intended, and you've seen so much more change in those ways. And so just keeping up to pace with all that, let alone all the other stuff, is just a messy, messy world. But if you stop and you have a look at the West versus the third world, you'll see it's even messier. Some of our ideals and understandings in our world go 1 + 1 = 2. But when other people don't play by the same rules, it's really hard, isn't it? You know, all of us get cranky at Donald Trump because he says something stupid or he tweets something really silly. And we go, "Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, the leader of the free world out there again saying something ridiculous." But for those of you who get to look at the whole world's news, you'll find out there's actually people out there that aren't just saying silly things, they're doing silly things. And they're writing people off. I got one of my feeds at the moment is looking into what India is doing around the Kashmiri people. And they're trying to get rid of a document number 370 so as to get rid of those people. And Pakistan has gone to the United Nations to challenge India on what they're doing. How many of us know about that in the news? And there's things like that happening all over the place that would fry our brain if we're going, oh my goodness, that's the world I live in. Why isn't someone doing something about that? Well, often we get so focused on the little things that we're about that we forget there's a bigger picture. We worry about the fact that the main roads haven't filled that pothole and that every 3 seconds a child starves. We get out of whack, don't we? It's a messy world. And not all nations play by the same rules. And sometimes in the West we try to play by the rules that we think are the right ones and try to impose those rules on other nations. And guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Years ago, we as a church, years ago, I think it was 10 years ago, we helped Robbie Sondringhagen. Remember Robbie? He collected a whole bunch of shoes. Anyone remember collecting those shoes? And we collected all these shoes, thousands and thousands of shoes from the Sunshine Coast, were put into great big containers, and they went overseas. And guess where they got to? They got to the dock. And the powers that be said, okay, you give us an X amount of dollars and we'll let those shoes into the country. We'll be sending you these shoes for free. No, no, no. You give us more money and we'll let the shoes get into the country. But these are these shoes that help your people. No, no, no. You give us more money and you can have the shoes come into the country. And that happens again and again and again. The population doesn't get it because the government of the day or of that country has different agendas. We as a church are going to Malawi in November the 10th. We booked our tickets this week. So we are going with Bribie Island and we'll be flying out and we'll be away. And we get back on 11:30 at night. Anyone want to volunteer to pick us up from the airport? On the 21st of November. So in 2010 we went to Malawi. Malawi had 13 million people at that stage. Today, Malawi has 17 million. 4 million people in those years. In 2010, Malawi had a death rate at childbirth of 1 in 10. 1 in 10 babies died at birth. Today, it's 1 in 20. Now, that's a lot better. It's still bad, but it's a lot better. Back in 2010, the life expectancy of a male in Malawi was 43 years old. Female was younger, 42. In Malawi today, average age of a male is expectancy is 56. And for a female, 59. You've caught up and gone past us. Isn't that amazing? In those 10 years, things have changed in Malawi. Life expectancy has gotten better and the death rate at birth is certainly a lot better. But when you compare that to Australia, you'll notice there's a little bit of a difference still. You see, Australia is the number 4 country in the world for old people. Not you guys. Old people. Number 4 in the world. And let me clarify that. The average age of life expectancy for an Aussie male is 81. 81. Isn't that amazing? That's brilliant. 81. If you are over 81, you're above average. Isn't that good knowing? If you're under 81, you've got a lot to catch up to. Keep your living. All right? And women, 83. 83. All right? Yeah, we're the old bloke. No, we won't go into that, thank you, Arthur. Here's another thing. We're number 4 in the world. Malawi is number 170th out of 183 countries. In other words, there's such a disparity. And so when I go to Malawi at the age of 55, almost turning 56, I will be one of the old guys walking around. 65-year-olds and older in Malawi only make up 5% of the whole population. 5%. That's so frightening, isn't it? These poor folk don't get to have what we would see as a full life. But it's a lot better than it used to be. Interesting thing for Malawi is there's zero migration. There's not a whole bunch of people wanting to get in to Malawi. Isn't that interesting? And guess what? There's also zero pensioners in Malawi, because there is no pension. There is none. If you do not have a family and you're over 65 in that 5%, the government doesn't look after you. You need your family to look after you. So you need to be nice to your family in Malawi. In Australia, we can get the government to look after you if you annoy all the kids. Interesting stats. But what can we do? And how can we help? How can we here at Kiwana Life be a part of a generation that can continue to make a difference in places like Malawi? Now, 183 countries, we could sit and look into all those countries and see on ways that you can make a difference. And we could send shoes. We can send Christmas boxes, which is great. We can pray. But what else can we do? What else is important? Well, let's go back almost to the very beginning, to Exodus, the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 20. Who knows exactly what I'm referring to straight away? Exodus 20 is the top 10, the Ten Commandments. Let's have a quick look at the top 10, okay? And it says this: the God spoke all these words, and he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself any image in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath, in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation, to those who hate me, but those who show love to 1,000 generations, for those who love me and keep my commandments. He's not messing about, is he? Number three, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The Jewish people thought that was a pretty serious one, so much so that they didn't use the holy name for God. They used other names. It's like in Australia, most of you know me as Donnie. And I don't get offended when you call me Donnie. But if you wanted to use my holy name, Donald, it would sound very strange, wouldn't it? And I probably wouldn't turn around. Who? But we have that familiar name of Donnie, and some even call me Don. But God doesn't want us to mess with his name. He wants us to understand that he is a holy God. He's not to be trifled with. There's something in that, I think, for us to grab hold of. Next one is, remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day you shall have a rest. For the Lord your God did that. And on it you shall do no work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your land. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that was in them, and then he rested. And on the seventh day, therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land Lord your God is giving you. Then we go into these short ones. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. And you shall not covet your neighbour's house, nor shall you covet your neighbour's wife, nor shall you covet his Commodore or Falcon, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbour. They're the top 10. How do you go with them? You do okay with them? No idols in your house? No TV that's the focus of your lounge room? Is in my room. So what is God saying to us about the top 10? Are there good things to help us to live together and to let love be shared amongst us? And they're good things to help us do things. They're good to get us right with God so that we can say, yes, you are the only one God, and yes, your name is holy, and yes, your day is holy, and yes, we're going to live according to your ways. Okay, get that. And then what marks us as followers of Jesus is also that we don't kill. That's a good thing. We don't commit adultery. That's a good thing. We don't steal. That's a really good thing. We don't covet. These are good things for us to have in our lives. And we don't bear false witness. We don't lie. How many of you struggle with people that lie to you? I want to put your, if you, that's one of your bugbears. When someone lies to you, it just does your head in. And yet how many of us lie? You know? We all do it, and yet there's things that bug us. And this law here is meant to help us get these things right. But how do we go keeping the top 10? Let me go a little bit further, because I don't think Jesus plays real fair. Because in Matthew chapter 5, he says this. Hold on, let me have a look at my notes here. Matthew chapter 5. Yep. He says this: you have heard it said to people long ago, you shall not murder. So what's he referring to? The top 10. He said, you've heard it said long ago. The top 10. Even back in Jesus' day, the top 10 was long ago. You shall not murder. But I say unto you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to his brother or sister, raka, or empty head, or fool, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. You see how Jesus doesn't play fair? How high is that bar lifted? Most of us will go, yeah, no, I haven't killed anyone. No problem. But now Jesus goes, when you get angry, when you say empty head, when you say fool, when you say raka, I don't use raka, so I'm safe there. But you know what? There's something invented in this culture called the Main Roads Department. And it makes me sin every time. And you don't have to be in my car very often. Cynthia's in my car lots. And I have this little ritual that goes on when I run into roadworks. And I say negative things about certain people who are employed as engineers. The Bible's saying I shouldn't do that. I should pray for those who persecute me. For those who give me a hard time. But you see how Jesus raises the standard? He's not messing about. He's saying, come on, people. Then it goes on. There's other examples, and it gives examples about adultery. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman in a lustful way... Oh, drats. Am I the only one that's messed up one? Because I'm not hearing any amens on that one. Then it goes on, and oaths, let your word be your word. And when you say yes, let it be yes. And when you say no, I'm safe on that one. When you say yes, let it be yes. So what's Jesus saying to us here? Where is the love in this section? This seems very harsh and messy again. Let's have a look at that passage that Trish read out beautifully to us. Matthew 22, because it tells us the greatest commandment. It might help us. Matthew 22, verses 34-40. And it says, hearing this, Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, when I read out of Exodus, did you hear me read that out? No. It's not in the top 10. So what's Jesus quoting? Is this something he's making up? Is this something he's saying to the Sadducees to keep them quiet? No, I hear you say, Donnie, have a look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay, let's do that. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it says this, these are the commands, decrees, the laws of the Lord your God, who directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing over and to possess. And he goes on. And then in verse 5 it says this, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today be on your hearts. Impress upon them to your children. So Jesus is quoting that one out of the book of Deuteronomy. And straight away the scribe says, yep, you nailed it. And then Jesus says, the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So when we talk about Be Loved Sunday, this is where we grab our point. This is where we grab our reference. Not about shoes, not about Christmas boxes, no offense, Lois. Not about even supporting our kids. It's starting here with this passage. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now notice in Matthew he doesn't say strength, but don't stress. Over in Luke chapter 10, Jesus adds strength there. But today we're just going to look at those three, and then we're going to look at the second great commandment as well. So the first one is to love the Lord your God. First point, love the Lord your God. Capital L, capital G. To understand that he is number one and that we're to love him. We're to love him. Now it's interesting to try and get that concept. How do you love God? And so God helps us out by saying, with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your being, with everything that you have in you, love God. Isn't that amazing? How do we do that? How do we let that love shine through? We get that focus in life, then it flows through into other parts of our lives and to Main Roads Department and places like that. Our soul. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. Your soul. Now, according to Clark's little dots in his in commentary, he says the soul is your lifeblood, the life. So when your soul leaves your body, guess what? Your body's an empty shell. Even my fat boys believe we have a soul, which is pretty interesting chat to them about. So, okay, when you die, what happens to your soul? I'm an atheist, so I'm not worried about that one. Well, should we? Does your soul just disappear or disintegrate? I don't know. I'll have to look into that one. Oh, you're older than me, Darren. About time we started looking into it, brother. Our soul is our lifeblood. Are we prepared to lay down our life for Jesus? Lay down our life for God. Our life. Number three, to love your Lord your God with all your mind. With all your mind. With all your understanding. To get into God's word. To understand who God is. To go and spend time in his very presence and let him teach you of his ways. To study. To make yourself approved. These are three areas that we can concentrate on. Love the Lord your God with everything. Why? Because we've got Christian lives to live, brothers and sisters. We've got Jesus' love to give. Because the world needs love. And it starts here, getting our life right with God. To be able to say, I love God. If today you don't love God, you don't know this that I'm talking about. This is foreign to you. Then at the end, as we sing a song, come, sit with me. We'll pray. We'll chat. We'll talk to God Almighty. And we'll get that love sorted out. And that channel is important. Because if that channel's not working, then what are we giving out of? Well, emptiness at one point. Or as the Bible says, the best we can give is but as filthy rags. Is that what we want to give the world? On Be Loved Sunday, we want to go, hey, you want some filthy rags? That's the best I've got. Or do you want to go, God, fill me with your love and let me share that? Let it flow like never before. And then the next part makes sense, doesn't it? Love your neighbours. Now, we're good at that, aren't we? But we rush ahead. I rush ahead. Love your neighbours. Yes, love my neighbours. I've got to get out there and love my neighbours. But before I can go out and love my neighbours, there's one more important thing I've got to do. Because it's love your neighbours as. Now, who's my English teacher? As. As means there's something else coming. There's like, isn't it? It's like, do this because of this. As you love yourself. How do you go loving yourself? Is your life with God a priority? As you love God, God will work in your heart and your life, your soul, your mind, your very strength and being. And you look at the mirror and go, you aren't a God's special one. I'm a king's kid. I'm a child of the Almighty God. I've been plugged into Jesus himself. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am no longer condemned. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am filled with the Holy Spirit to enable me to have the fruit of the Spirit growing in me. Love, joy, peace, patience. I am a work of God. And as you start to love yourself, guess what? It's easy to love other people because it just flows out of you again. The love of God flowing in. Being who God's called you to be. And letting people see Jesus in and through you. We need to start letting God, loving ourselves, and then going and loving our neighbours. As I said, if you don't know this love between us and God, come down and I'd love to share with you and talk with you. I'd love you to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour today. That you can go, yep, I want to know that. I want to know that fruit of God in my life. I want to know the filling of the Holy Spirit. I want to know that I can be God's instrument in his hand. And that's what we are. When we let the love of God work through us, we become his instruments, doing what he wants to do in our community, in our families, our words, our hugs, our thoughts, our prayers. You want to be loved Sunday? Love God. Love yourself. And let's love one another. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you first loved us. That in amongst your plan, it was all about Jesus coming to the cross and he dying on the cross so that we might be forgiven of all our sin. That sin may not hold us back. We might be sinners, and I am a sinner. I often feel like Paul. I'm the king of all sinners. And at times, Lord God, when I lose the plot and I get cranky and I'm upset about things, it's good to be able to come to you, Father, and say, Lord, I lost the plot again. Father, forgive me. Thank you that you're there to forgive me. And I pray today, Lord God, for those that don't know that forgiveness, that they will cry out to you right now and say, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, forgive me. Let me live for you today like never before. And Father, as we let you into our lives and as you break into the different parts of our lives, and Lord, that's a massive journey. Some of us have been going on that journey for 50 years, letting you work in our lives. Some of us have had to learn that lesson 5 or 6 or 7 times. And today, Father, I pray that those lessons may be learnt and we might step up a level on how we can love this world. Lord, there are so many ways that we can do that. You gave us a heart to fill us with that empathy and love for those that we hear about statistics and we dig into our pocket and want to sponsor children and we want to do this and we want to do that. Then we pray, Lord God, that you would guide us in that because you want us to love you with our mind. So give us wisdom and discernment as we do those sort of things. And Father, with our soul, Lord, may we give up our lives to follow you. Acknowledge that that's what you called us to. And in amongst that, here on this beautiful place called the Sunshine Coast in the great land of Australia, where we get to live long and old, and we get so many privileges with hospital, and roads and houses and running water, refrigeration, more than one pair of shoes. Lord, we look to the rest of the world and we cry out to you. Grab us as your instruments and use us. And part of that may be supporting missios, maybe supporting those going to Malawi, maybe lifting up Tim and Mel and Jean-Claude, other missionaries that we all know and other places throughout the world that are so similar to Malawi. Lord, we mentioned 15 countries earlier. All of them need your work in them. All of them need you, Lord God, to be known as you are, and that people in those countries may come and fall in love with you and be healed and be set free. So Lord, may we go and be love. In Jesus' name. Amen.